Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Savage Nation. We were going to talk today, and we will later, I guess, about the UC Santa Barbara hanger-on shooter, and why do you think that the media, being as left-wing as it is, has dropped the story, which they have. We're going to talk about the GOP committing suicide by inviting the man from Duck Dynasty to speak at their convention, and Obama's tepid speech at West Point, and other stories on the Savage Nation. But first, I want to talk about something quite personal, which is the death of my friend Lorenzo Petroni of the North Beach Restaurant. As you know, I'm the only one in the Bay Area who's ever memorialized him in novels. He plays a critical role in both of my New York Times best-selling novels, A Time for War and Abuse of Power, and he's been fictionalized into a character called Bruno. I guess I shouldn't say that, but Bruno comes off very well in the book. And the restaurant that he owns is called, what, Ryan? What do we call the restaurant? Spumoni's Restaurant. And a lot of my scenes take place in that restaurant because I spent a good part of the last, I hate to say it, more than a few decades in that restaurant, both by myself, with friends, with family, with my dog. Lorenzo was a great lover of dogs, and when I'd come in, he'd say, "What can I cook for Teddy today? And often I would order chicken. He'd say, no, chicken's not good enough, and he'd give him veal, and he'd eat veal on the, he'd insist he sit on a chair. Lorenzo died yesterday after suffering pretty badly from esophageal cancer, and I hadn't seen him in his last days. I didn't really want to. I'd rather remember him as the mountain that he was, and that is because I have had family members who were once powerful men reduced to rubble from cancer, and I didn't want to see it again. Brother-in-law, father-in-law, uncle, could do without it. I don't like to see the last stages of cancer in anybody, but nevertheless, I went in there yesterday after the, I finished my show, went to the dermatologist. My foot's pretty bad. That little bead did some job on my ankle. I mean, I look like a leper, I'll be honest with you. And I have so much steroid cream on my leg and in circulation that if I make any mistakes today, we'll blame it on the medication. I went, so the doctor's looking at the leg, I said, the minute I get out of here, the young man who drives me is taking me right over to the North Beach restaurant, and I'm going to have a vodka, which is what I'm going to have. I don't care what you prescribe or whether it interacts with it rightly or wrongly. That's my medication. Well, I made my way over through the tunnel. We went over to, first I visited my friend over at Pinocchio restaurant, and I had a drink there outside and shared neighborhood gossip. And then I went over to the North Beach restaurant, and they said, "Did you hear what happened to Papa?" They called him Papa. And I said, "No." I said, "Come on, I don't want to hear the rest of it." And I slammed my fist on the counter saying, "Oh, God, well, he's in a better place anyway," because I know he was suffering. And I had more than one drink, and then I decided to eat dinner there. And he's dead, and that's the end of it. There's a lot of stories about Lorenzo that I could tell, and I don't want to bore you with them. If you don't know the man, I don't know if I should tell you what I know. But it's quite tragic to me that a man as politically to the right as Lorenzo Petroni was would be eulogized by the city's most illiterate doctrinaire left-wingers. That's the part that grates me. He once answered a customer who asked him if he was a right-winger by saying, no, I'm a fascist. Of course, he said it kiddingly, but this guy was really a right-winger, a real one. He loved America. He was a real American because he came here as an immigrant from Italy when he was a young man. And the reason he was a conservative all his life is because he suffered under socialism in the form of Adolf Hitler, the socialist who occupied his nation of Italy. Many of you leftists don't know that National Socialism or Nazism was a socialist movement. You don't understand that because you're naive and don't even know history. So Lorenzo came over here, built himself up from nothing into owning the best restaurant in the city. And I remember my previous assistant was a machine gunner in Iraq. He had just come back, and he was working as my driver and assistant. The kid was a machine gunner on a Humvee. He handled a .50 cal, and he was pretty shaken up from having lost friends in IEDs. This was in the early phases of the Iraq War. I took him into the North Beach restaurant. I said to Lorenzo, I want you to meet my assistant. He just back from Iraq. He was a 50 caliber machine gunner. Lorenzo looked him in the eye and he said, how many of those bastards did you kill? That's the kind of guy Lorenzo was. And while he was a diehard lover of America and a complete conservative, he had to serve everyone in the city. And unfortunately, in this city, there are very few conservatives. Most of them are completely fraudulent, corrupt liberals who he served with a smile. In fact, without mentioning some of their names, I will tell you that when I heard they ate there, and I went in afterwards, I said, Lorenzo, unless you break the dishes that they ate on, I'm never coming back here. Of course, we got a laugh out of that one. I doubt very much they'll hear any of this, since they don't listen to anything but their own sycophants talking to them. But if you want to hear who they are, I guess you can go and listen to some of the eulogies of the people whose politics he detested. And that's all I want to say to you about the passage of my friend Lorenzo. If you want to read some of the fiction and some of the passages about him, you can find them in Abuse of Power or A Time for War. Some of them are good. Let me read you one piece. I'll read you from page 32 of A Time for War. And the guys in my novel are in there. Abe Cohen, the liberal poster shop owner, is in there. And then there's my friend, the opposite, is in the restaurant, Spumante's. Who's the ex-Special Forces guy. And they always argue, Doc Mattson. And they're eating in the restaurant. They love each other even though they argue. So it starts like this in A Time for War. Jack had met them for a brunch at Spumante's, Bruno's restaurant in North Beach. Hey, this sweatshirt is vintage from Altamont, Abe said. He's the liberal. The prosecution rest, Bruno said. He stood up, his bald head glistening with perspiration under the warming sun, and his lucky black vest showing its age. He had worn it every day since he opened his doors 17 years before. 50-year-old Bruno Spumante passed laminated menus to the three guests. They were seated at one of a dozen tables outside the restaurant. Because it was a weekday, brunch was not a busy time, and then they all order. Bruno smiled at me and bent over to give Eddie a brisk rub on the head when he was finished. Jack knew that was probably the last smile Bruno would crack all day. The hard-working son of immigrants, Bruno was a fierce supporter of what he called American truth, the nation's original compass settings, and he was chronically glum over the way the United States had become what he called left behind, and he wasn't referring to end of days, but to socialism and a body part. Bruno's spontaneous combative monologues had made him something of a tourist attraction in the Italian district of North Beach. You hippies, you were moth-eaten 43 years ago when that shirt was new, Bruno said as a waiter brought water. They were called conscientious objectors in my father's day and cowards in my grandfather's day. Abe remarked, Bruno, your grasp of social movements is matched only by your understanding of how to properly fix a table. Bruno snapped back, this is an earthquake zone, Che Cazzo. What you fix today will be broken tomorrow. What did he just call Abe? Jack asked Doc. Doc knew how to curse in 40 languages, and I can't repeat on the air what it means in Italian. By the way, Abe, I stumbled across an article about hippies, he added, specifically counterintelligence. And I won't go on, it's all in there. If you want to read about my fictionalized version of Bruno, you can do it in the car. I'm sorry, you can do it by picking up the book. If you have it, it's all in there. It's just the end of an era because I don't know what's going to happen next. It's sort of the end of San Francisco as I knew it. I remember when I moved here only for North Beach for no other reason. I love the Italian district. I really didn't care for any other part of the city. I love the small buildings. I love the feeling of the streets. It was always a village. And it still is a village to me. I consider it my village. When I walk down the street, I can say hello to at least a half a dozen restaurant owners who I don't consider my friends, but I know them well enough to consider them my acquaintances, which are better than most friends that you can have today. Always ready with a smile and a quick conversation about what's going on in the neighborhood, in politics. Always ready to offer me food, which I often don't accept because I don't want anything for nothing. After all, I'm not on the letter deficient station where I look for a free veal parmesan. And that's it. North Beach is no more. It's going to become Coney Island, not of the mind, but of something else. And now we'll move on to regular programming on the Savage Nation. And I want to move back to the Elliot Rogers story shortly and ask you, who do you hold responsible, as we did yesterday? Who do you hold responsible for the shooting massacre and the knifing massacre in Santa Barbara? And why do you think the media has dropped coverage of this horrendous story? I'm pretty much sure that they dropped it because it doesn't support their liberal agenda. In fact, the more we discuss Elliot Rodgers and his madness, the more we realize he's a product of the left wing, not of the right wing. We're also going to talk about the GOP committing suicide by inviting the guy from Duck Dynasty to speak at their convention. I say to myself, why would they invite a backwoodsman who scares the heck out of city folks, scares women, scares people who are in the middle and don't know which way to vote? Why would they pick someone like that to speak at the Republican convention? Is he the best image of the Republican Party? A backwoodsman who makes duck whistles, I ask myself. I don't think so, by the way. That isn't to defame the guy. I don't know him. But I don't think that he represents the Republican Party. I think he represents one portion of the voter bloc of the Republican Party. But he certainly would alienate young women, women in general, city dwellers, and people in the middle. But this is an example of the morons who are running the Republican Party. We then have another short story, which just came out moments ago. Headline, Associated Press, Michelle Obama to help lay keel for new submarine. How ironic can it get? First Lady Michelle Obama will help lay the keel for a new submarine under construction in Rhode Island. Obama's office said she's scheduled to speak at a ceremony at Electric Boats Manufacturing Plant on Monday. The future USS Illinois is a new Virginia-class submarine named after Obama's home state. The First Lady is the ship sponsor. She is expected to write her initials on a metal plate, and a welder will then inscribe them. The event is the ceremonial beginning of the ship's construction. The new sub is expected to cost approximately $2.7 billion. I said to myself, I'm going to ask my audience today in the Savage Nation, what do you think would be an appropriate name for a submarine for which Michelle Obama is going to lay the keel for? How about this? How about the USS Saul Alinsky? Or should they name the sub the USS Reverend Wright? If you have any other suggestions as to what the submarine should be named, we're open for business on this and other topics right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. As usual, I'm all over the map at the same time. But that's the way the world is, isn't it? We're all dancing on the head of a pin. And as Henry Miller wrote, each day that I wake up, I can go in 1,000 directions. The trick is to find one direction and follow it as best you can. And I have a picture of Lorenzo in front of me in his heyday. This guy was like, you know what? You see, everyone dies. We know that. But when a man as powerful as this has been dying for so long, it's like watching, I used to say to people, it's like watching a giant oak tree in the forest slowly going down and you can hear it cracking. It's a pretty sad thing to witness, but it's the way life is. But when the strong die, it somehow affects me more than when someone who's been sickly, you know, all their lives or weak dies. He was a guy that if you touched him while talking to him, like his arm, it would be like touching a tree. Anyway, he and I loved each other. We would argue over meals, and he reminded me of relatives that I used to have. And I remember he used to say, he once said to me, I'll try to get it exactly right. He was the one who actually said it to me. He said, Jews and Christians, he says, same a corporation, different division. I used to love going down into the prosciutto room with him with all the hams hanging overhead. I said, why don't you have a Muslim convention down here, Lorenzo, or an Orthodox Jewish convention? Anyway, you know, one story after the other. It was a lot of fun, and I doubt that I'll be going back there because, you know, some restaurants are the owners, period. You know, the old days of restaurants, it was called the patron, the patrona. You know, his name was Patroni, but the patron, the father. Most people who go into these old-style Italian restaurants, go in there for the guy who runs it. They want to be part of his family. They want him to glad hand them. They want him to give them the energy. You know what I'm saying? And then when that guy's gone, I mean, you know, food's good. Not knocking the food, but that's not what it's about. It's the experience of going in there and being insulted and him telling you what to eat. No matter what you order, he gives you something else. And he says, no, eat this, or put salt on your food when you don't want it. Ask anybody what went on in there. I had a crackdown on him 10 years ago and say, Lorenzo, if you ever put salt in my food or you ever tell me what to eat, I'm never coming back. I mean, he was that kind of guy. You had to argue with him to get him to stop. But he loved my dog. Nothing was too good for Teddy. Ship name. The crazy kid who shot those people up in Santa Barbara. Those are the topics. And I got to apologize in advance. I truthfully feel that I'm slightly foggy from the steroids on my leg. Wow, they really wiped me out, my God. And I remember from my days in clinical practice, I once had a guy come in. This must have been 40 years ago. He was about to go into for neurosurgery at Stanford. This must have been 79, 80. I was in practice on a little houseboat. There were some medical doctors. I was the PhD nutrition expert. And he was going to go in for neurosurgery because he had some kind of neuropathy. And I said to him, well, you know, tell me what drugs you're on. He said, well, I have a skin condition. I'm taking massive steroids. I said, do you know that steroids deplete your body of various B vitamins? I think it was especially B6. He said, no. I said, I want you to take 50 milligrams to 100 milligrams of vitamin B6 for 3 days and see what happens. He calls me up and he says, my neuropathy went away. I don't need the surgery. So I remembered my own advice. I just took a massive dose of B vitamins because I will tell you, these steroid creams are very powerful. I don't use drugs if I can avoid them, other than C2H5OH, which I have not stopped enjoying. C2H5OH is something you can titrate to the level that you're familiar with and control it, and it's water-soluble and it leaves your body. When I come back, what would you name the submarine that Michelle is naming? What names we have for you on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's a yin-yang day for me. I hope you're having a better day than I am. Been a hard 2014. It's been a hard day's night so far for me as well. I've been up for 3 nights. You know what it is when you have an itch on a leg from a bee sting and you can't scratch it because you'll tear your skin open no matter what you put on, you can't put on? Oh, sometimes an itch is a tough thing to deal with. But dealing with murder is even harder. Dealing with the tragedy of our political system can be as painful to most people as an itch. In fact, in the middle of the night when I was awake with the swelling and the burning and the pain and the itch from the bee sting, I couldn't help thinking about what Obama and Michelle and Nancy Pelosi, for example, what they say and what they do every day. It's hard for me to believe they get away with it, because in a sane nation, there'd be a call for a new government. There'd be a call for impeachment. But we don't. Here's the thing to remember. We don't have a political system that's functional. The thing to remember is it's not a functional system. It's a monopoly. And like all monopolies, they're very difficult to break. Now, if you have a monopoly in a business, you can go after them through antitrust actions. And as hard as the odds are to bring down a major multinational corporation on antitrust today, it can be done. Or at least they will settle with you in order to prevent you from pursuing it because they don't want the public to know about their monopoly. Can't do that with the Democrat-Republican monopoly, can you? And yet we know if I create a third party called the Nationalist Party, what will happen? Initially, I'll steal 5 to 10, 20% of the vote, and it'll only elect the Democrat Socialists forever. So we don't do that. So therefore, I told you the best choice we have is to push conservative planks into the Republican platform, or put it another way, try to get conservative candidates elected. I mean, that's a given. We understand that. And there are a few of them out there. They don't represent what I consider to be the proper platform, which is borders, language, and culture. I've yet to hear that come out of Ted Cruz's yap. Has he once said borders, language, and culture? No. So, all right, he's better than they are, but what does he actually stand for? I don't really know. But that's the problem with the political system right now, is we have a monopoly we're dealing with. In Europe, there was, you don't even know this, because your press is so broken and biased. It's such a part of the machine that you don't even know what happened over the weekend. There was a vast right-wing sweep across Europe. Vast! They voted to get out of the EU. They voted to take their nation back. They want they want their currency back. They want their flag back. They want their borders back. They want the flood of third world garbage thrown out of their country. They're sick and tired of the crime. They're sick and tired of the leeches. They want them out of their countries. And they voted. And they shocked the elites in Europe. It happened mainly in France. The Germans went liberal. They didn't change. Apparently the Germans are still afraid of falling back into the trap of Hitlerism, so they were afraid to assert their nationality. The French, though, on the other hand, were vehemently opposed to this New World Order and moved drastically to the right. So there was a sweep of right wing from England to France and other countries. And I said, it can't happen here. We don't have democracy. They have parliamentary systems with many different parties. And God Almighty, I wish we had many different parties in this country. From the outright Communist Party, which is today the Democrat Party, but they would call themselves the Democrat, you know, Democrat People's Party. That's what they would call themselves, and we know it means communist. It wouldn't have to hide as a party of the middle class, because Obama would be the head of the Communist Party USA. But then he could nakedly say, I'm a communist because I hate capitalism. I'm a communist because I want elitism to rule. I'm a communist because I want the people to basically eat leftovers while we on the top eat strawberry shortcake. Then you'd know what communism really is. But now he has to pretend. Everything about the man is pretense. He gets in trouble over the VA scandal, and they send him to Afghanistan on a secret mission to give a little speech over there over the weekend. The bomber jacket, him and Clinton with the bomber jackets. It's disgusting. Comes back to yet another scandal, blows up on the White House, one after the other. And yet he gets away with it, the Teflon Don, because the media protects him. All right, let's go to the callers, because the Kissler's Virgin, who committed those atrocities over the weekend, is still a huge story. I think if I were to rate all the shows I've done in my 20-year career, yesterday would rank in the top five. I loved yesterday's show. I slept well, my friends. I listened. I replayed a show in my head. It comes back to me at night. I thought yesterday's analysis by me was the best I've ever done. One of the best analyses I've ever done. Psychological, sexual, from the point of view of young men and how they see women. I mean, a lot of young men, you got to understand, get sexually frustrated and start to rage against women. And I told you that yesterday. They hide it, though. They don't know how to deal with it. There are healthy ways to deal with it, and then they're unhealthy, and then they're insane ways. But you can't blame the women, because the women also rage against the men in sometimes healthy ways, sometimes unhealthy ways, and sometimes insane ways, such as Thelma and Louise, for example. And so there's a whole spectrum of rage and a whole spectrum of reaction to the war between the sexes, which is what it used to be called when we were still willing to admit there was a war between the sexes. Now you're not supposed to say it because we're living in a metrosexual world where we're all supposed to be the same sex or one sex. But apparently this lunatic didn't see it that way. No, he didn't see it that way. And so he took it out on innocent men first, which is, that is bizarre. If he hated women, and that was his modus operandi for retribution, why would he then kill everyone? Because he wasn't just hating women. He was an impotent little psychotic who was spoiled rotten from the time he was a child by his Hollywood parents. Told he was God. You're God. You're fantastic. Look, you're coming to the Academy Awards with me. You're on a first-class jet. You're hanging around with movie stars. You're great. You're wonderful. Everyone will throw themselves at you. And when no one throws themselves at him, he says, what's wrong with this picture? I want everyone to worship me because I'm so great. And that's what egomania does to people. And so he says he's going to slaughter all of you. All of you will be killed like animals, boys and girls, men and women, infants, whoever. It starts with his sexual frustrations, and it ends up with a sort of Hitler complex. And he says, I'll slaughter you all like animals. I'll be a god. Neil, you got to play clip two, just so they get a flavor for the voice of the psychotic again, because it's too chilling to ignore.
On the day of retribution, I am going to enter the hottest sorority house of UCSB. And I will slaughter every single spoiled, stuck-up, blonde slut I see inside there. All those girls that I've desired so much, they would have all rejected me and looked down upon me as an inferior man if I ever made a sexual advance towards them. While they throw themselves at these obnoxious brutes. I'll take great pleasure in slaughtering all of you. You will finally see that I am, in truth, the superior one, the true alpha male.
True alpha male. So he was raised to believe he was God, and he never had a girlfriend. He said he was a kissless virgin at age 22. It's odd to even contemplate what this maniac was all about. I mean, the parents obviously have a great deal of blame. I love the PR that's coming out, that the parents' hearts are more broken for the victims than him. I mean, who's writing this trash? They got a PR agent to write that trash already? Did they care more about? Yeah, sure. They care more about getting sued by the victims' families than they do about anything else, in my estimation. As do the therapists who should have had him committed a long time ago. Committed. Let's go to WMAL, Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling the Savage Nation. You're on the air. Go ahead, Jim.
Hello, sir. I have my mom and my oldest girl are both bipolar. And the biggest problem with, it took my mom a long time to get things straightened out where she could control it. It took a good psychiatrist. She said the psychiatrist has to make the person understand how bad their situation is. And I struggled with my daughter for years. She would go off her meds. And when she's off her meds, when people off like that are off their meds, they think they are fine. The rest of the world is the problem. She could never have a decent relationship because this boy was messed up. This boy was messed up. This boy thought I had an attitude. And we couldn't get her to realize, don't you see the track record? Everybody you come in contact with has a problem, but you don't. Maybe you have the problem. And it's just like this kid. He thought the rest of the world was messed up because he was off his meds. The big problem with that is once they become a legal adult, you can't force them to take medicine. And
well, by the way, now that you mention that, there is a bill passing around in California right now to force them to take their medicine, by the way, that if they're considered a potential threat to others, the story came out this morning, finally some congressmen are doing something, they're going to try to get the bill through the House of Representatives, I think, not in the state of California, I have to find the exact article, in order to require them to take their meds against their will, because that's the only thing that's going to work.
Well, you know, once they get back on their meds, they feel fine, and they realize that, yeah, I'm doing better, and things turn around for them. But you know,
let me tell you something. As a libertarian conservative, if you want to define me as that, I'm a little concerned with that for one reason. Because in the ex-Soviet Union, they declared you mentally ill if you didn't see the Soviet state as a great state. If you said there was anything wrong with the ex-Soviet Union, they said, no, there isn't. You're mentally ill because you're living in a paradise. The People's Republic of the Soviet Union is a paradise. And if you don't see it that way, you're mentally ill. And they put them in mental hospitals, and they had evil psychiatrists who worked for the state under the equivalent of Stalin care, who then forcibly jammed meds down the throats of the dissidents, the poets and the intellectuals who saw the Soviet Union for what it was. And that's what's worrisome about this law. I mean, who's going to declare who's mentally ill is the problem downstream, Jim.
This is true. Like I was saying, though, the biggest problem with my daughter, though, is she might forget to take it a day.
No, I get it. I understand, but I don't like the government having the power to force medication on anyone. That's the problem. Given that we have Pelosi in the government, I really wouldn't want her deciding who has to take medication, to be honest with you. You know? And secondly, not everyone who's mentally ill is a risk to society. And we're talking about those with violent tendencies. This kid showed violence in his writings and on his YouTube postings. That's a little different, by the way. So there's a new bill out that would require those like him to take medication. No, you know, conservatives, libertarians are afraid of the big brother government. So there's an issue here that has to be discussed. And who is the physician that you're going to trust in this day and age? Who is the psychiatrist that you're going to trust in this day and age? Who is the American Psychological Association big shot that you can trust today? I see. I don't trust the psychiatric establishment. To me, they're part and parcel of the political establishment. There's no science in what they do. It's all politics. So they could say that if you're a conservative, you're mentally ill because this is a perfect world under Obama. And that's the worrisome problem. When I come back, we'll take your calls on a simpler topic of, well, it's not a simpler topic. It's who do you blame for the UC Santa Barbara shooting? There's a lot of blame to go around, as we said on this program. Do you blame the therapists, the parents, Hollywood, social media, reality shows, blondes, radical feminism? Who do you blame for the kissless virgin's rage? And for those who are in a lighter mood, what would you name the submarine? I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We're now seeing efforts in Congress to roll back these new standards. And, you know, this is unacceptable. It's unacceptable to me, not just as First Lady, but as a mother. I know that right now, because I have talked to so many parents.
Do you hear what you're hearing?
So many kids write me every day. And more families are realizing that we are facing a health crisis in this country. We're now realizing that childhood obesity is a real issue.
Yeah. Right, right.
And
right,
so many families are looking for help now in their efforts to find new ways to feed their family balanced meals.
All right, so here's the First Lady, shocked that Congress is daring to stand up to her dietary fascism, where she tries to impose vegetarianism on school children, and who, by the way, categorically reject vegetarianism. Children are growing. They don't need vegetarianism. If I ever told you what's going to happen to this country in 10 years because of the foolishness of the parents who are raising infants on low-fat or no-fat diets, and on vegetarian diets, you'd say to me, are you crazy? No, I know more about it than you can imagine. And now you have the First Lady saying, I'm just shocked that Congress is interfering with my desire for vegetarianism imposed on children. She forgets, I guess, because she says not only is First Lady. First Lady is nothing. What's the First Lady? Who elected her? What do you mean? She's the First Lady? Wonderful. But she's not Congress. She's not elected. So the elected representative is saying the kids don't want that food imposed on them, and we're getting rid of it. The children want to eat real food. They're starving for calories. They're starving for fats to drive their brains, and they're starving for real food. Of course you can have vegetarianism as an elected diet when you're a little older, but when you're young, and you're especially when you're very young, your brain so demands essential fatty acids. I can name many compounds that are not found in vegetable foods. And I don't want to argue it with you. You can read about it on your own. All I'm saying to you is that she has a lot of nerve saying that Congress is interfering with her idea about vegetarianism imposed on children. That's rubbish. 855-407-282. What do you want to say about the kid who made the choice to kill? I blame him the most. But that's not good enough. The parents, I believe, have tremendous responsibility in what he did for a number of reasons, which we've discussed before, especially the father. The mother was sort of not involved, really. In that regard, you could say she has some responsibility, but look, he was a grown-up. At a certain point, he's an adult, he made the choice. But the father was not there for him. The father was no guidance for him. And more than that, the father had a little peculiar hobby of photographing the behinds of women around the world and selling their pictures on the internet. You may not know this.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
On the day of retribution, I am going to enter the hottest sorority house of UCSB. And I will slaughter every single spoiled, stuck-up, blonde slut I see inside there. All those girls that I've desired so much.
That's the voice of a madman who killed three men with knives and then killed women and then killed others. And the media has dropped the story completely for obvious reasons. This is a story that should have been covered for days, if not weeks. I believe that the media dropped coverage of the shooting in Santa Barbara for a number of reasons. And I don't think I have to, delineate them for you. They couldn't say it was guns because he killed three with machetes. They couldn't say it wasn't due to medication. They couldn't say it wasn't due to video games. They couldn't say it wasn't due to some relationship to violence in Hollywood. So therefore, they dropped the story and they moved on to something else. But I haven't dropped it. I think it's a very important story for all of us. And who do you blame is the question in the Savage on the Savage Nation today. I've also talked about other topics. And I don't think I have to reiterate them. If you just joined us, welcome. If you haven't just joined us, if you're leaving us, goodbye. But the phone number here is 855-400-7282. Let's go to the first caller, who is an attorney who has information on what psychologists are required to do in such situations. Steve from KKOB, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Mike. 1976 in California was a watershed year for this issue. And there was a case of that year by the name of Tarasoff versus the Regents of the University of California. And that had sort of a similar fact pattern to the Kissless Virgin case. Guy goes to a campus health people, he says, I'm going to shoot my girlfriend. Not much is done about it. He does shoot his girlfriend. The parents sued the therapist, the campus police, the regents, etc. They lost at the trial court, lost at the appeals court level, but the California Supreme Court held that a therapist bears a duty of reasonable care to give threatened persons such warnings as are absolutely essential to avert foreseeable damages arising from a patient's condition.
What is that for the average person listening, Steve? Does that mean a therapist has to call the police if they think he's going to commit violence?
I think the general answer to that question would be yes. It's obviously always case specific. The more specific the threat, the more specific the action has to be. If a guy just says, hey, I'm going to kill a bunch of people and leaves it at that, it warrants at least a call to the police. If he says, hey, I'm going to kill Joe Jones, then that warrants a call to Joe Jones.
Yeah, but he didn't say on his YouTubes he was going to kill anyone specifically. He said he was going to, I think, get even with the blonde sluts or something like that. Wouldn't that indicate he was violent and insane and he should be medicated and taken off the streets?
Oh, absolutely. That as well. But that's a whole different issue. He did say he was going to knock on sorority house doors and kill people. That, in my opinion, warrants a call to the sorority houses to say, be on your guard.
All right, so you agree with me that the therapist had an obligation to call the police and not call the parents. And my suspicion, you're an attorney, I'm not, is that the therapist may have had standing orders from the parents never to call the police without going through them first because they didn't want their precious son arrested. Would you suspect that might be the case here?
I suspect it might be, but that doesn't absolve them of their responsibility to ignore those directives and do what they need to do.
The therapist, okay.
Correct.
There's a new bill making its way through Congress from both Republicans and Democrats would put in place a federal requirement that states adopt laws permitting judges to order recalcitrant mental patients into outpatient care. Now, this kid, in my opinion, the therapist should have demanded that the police go there and stop him immediately. And they failed. And why they failed is anyone's guess. And I think the parents had something to do with it. That would be my intuitive guess. If I were an attorney And I was going to sue on the behalf of the families who survived the kids' deaths, the kids he killed. And I was looking to blame someone. I would first go after the therapist, then I would go after the other side, which are the parents. And I would look for discovery to find any directives from the parents via email or mail or telephone messaging where they said, you're never to call the police without calling us first. I think that would be the smoking gun, Steve.
I agree.
Well, maybe I'll have another future as an attorney in my next life. God only knows. It's a tough field. You know, I rib lawyers left and right on the show, but it's a very hard job, I got to tell you. It's probably a really hard job. I don't know how anyone does 80, 100 hours a week of it. It's a murderously hard job. Some thrive on it. I had a cousin, a distant cousin in New York in one of the major firms, which I won't mention. I had very little to do with him, but I know he was a partner in one of the biggest firms on Wall Street. And one of their partners worked until he was 98 years old in Manhattan, went to work every day till 96, 97, lived to 98. So, you know, you can't tell me stress kills you. It depends on how you deal with stress. And another guy tell me the other day that he knew a guy in New York who was a partner in a major brokerage firm. The man lived to 107 years old, and he went into the brokerage firm every day until he was 105. Again, you know, you don't hear these stories because, again, the story is stress is bad for you, and I believe the opposite is true. I'm not saying go out and seek stress, but I lead as high a stress life as anyone could possibly imagine other than, let's say, a fighter pilot in combat, let's say a U.S. Marine fighting under George Bush or Obama, not knowing when to pull the trigger until they're killed or whatever. But in terms of, let's say, a white-collar job, there's nothing tougher than being a talk show host and an author. This is live combat 3 hours a day, 15 hours a week, and then writing that book of 83,000 words. I mean, my body reacted to it. I broke down from it. The stress is getting to me. So, as I say, there's a thing called listening to your body. My body's talking to me right now. Believe me, my body's saying, okay, you're not going to listen to me on this? Okay, I'll give you that. Now you got this, now you got that, you're still not listening? How about the next stage? Because the next thing you get is something it's all over with. I mean, you got to listen to your own body. Well, it comes down to the same thing with the psychotics. They are telling you what they're going to do. In this case, this kid signaled what he was going to do. And the kissless virgin should have been stopped. It's that simple. You can blame feminists, you can blame parents, therapists, Hollywood, social media, reality shows, blondes, brunettes, redheads. You can blame high heels, you can blame the internet pornography. This is something for everyone here. At the end of the day, he's dead. They say by his own hand. Luckily, there were police brave enough to get into a shootout with him. I mean, they're the unsung heroes. They chased him through the neighborhoods, and they were shooting at him. And allegedly, they shot him in the hip through the car, and he continued on his rampage anyway. But think about that. You know, you say a lot of you complain about police. Do you have any idea what would have happened had there not been police with guns to have stopped this SOB maniac? He had 400 rounds left for his handguns. My guess is he would have used all of them until he came upon someone with a gun willing to use it on him. So there's a lot to be said in favor of guns here, and that's another reason that the despicable media dropped the story so quickly. In fact, too quickly as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, from my point of view, the best part of yesterday's discussion was about the psychosexual elements. I think a lot of people really enjoyed that. They didn't think that I could handle such a subject. But you have to understand that the psychosexual subtext of that entire story was probably as interesting as anything I've ever done on the show. And I believe everyone listening to this program who's ever thought about these subjects has an opinion on those psychosexual elements in the rampage and in the massacre. You don't have to be a psychiatrist to have an opinion. You have to have an IQ sufficient to discuss the topic, and let us say a sufficient background in reading to be able to discuss the topic. I mean, there's no litmus test on who's able to discuss something. Intelligence comes to us from all sources, and least of all from who you expect it. Sometimes the most educated in the field have the least to say. So if you want to chime in on the psychosexual elements of the slaughter, I would love to hear from you, because we had a caller yesterday, which I have to, hold on, I have to find, sorry, the clip number, Neil. The best caller of the day is clip 5, Michael the psychologist, which we're going to play when I come back right here on the Savage Nation. You're not going to believe what you're going to hear. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Let's go to the internet where Michael is calling. Michael, go ahead, please.
In order to have friends, you have to be a friend. If you want to have a lot of friends, be interested. If you want to have no friends, be interesting. This is a person who wasn't a victim. He was a person who had what might be called in an earlier literary age, hubris. He believed that everything was an entitlement to him, and he didn't have to give in order to get it. In other words, he's a taker. He had what we might call adulation addiction, the same way that Anthony Weiner had it, the same way that Bill Clinton had it, he has it, and they don't believe that they are someone who should have someone love them for what they give, but they want someone to love them for what they take. And that's what made the girls run away from him. They could,
wait, hold on. Now, are you a therapist yourself?
I'm a psychologist, and I've done therapy, and I'll tell you that psychology therapy was the problem here. It wouldn't help him one bit, because in order for somebody to be helped, especially get the fact that he was 8 years old, what do? Play therapy with a kid like that? No. In order for somebody to be helped, he has to know that he has a problem and he has to want to change it. This person believed everything was coming to him, so nobody could possibly convince him otherwise, and that's why a person as evil as this, therapy cannot help.
Interesting. Wow, you're a very brilliant analyst, my friend, and you really stand apart from the therapy establishment, who says nobody is to blame for anything they do.
That's right, and not only that, but what would be a more appropriate way to measure this person is not on any antisocial scale, although of course he was the ultimate in antisocial behavior. It would be a depravity scale. That's where one would have to measure him. Because this person, you just look at his manifesto. You don't need to do any analysis on him. All you got, if you have any background in literature, just look at the things he says in his manifesto, and you can explicate why he does the things he does.
Michael, have you written any papers on the on related to this?
I have never written a paper on it, but I know that certain people are evil, and that therapy is not...
Yeah, you know, this is a very important point, and it's a topic for another show, but I have said that before, which is that some people are just born evil. I've seen it in children. I've seen children who were mean from the time they stood up. They would hurt other children for no reason whatsoever. There are children who are just born bad. And yet, the liberal manifesto is such that they believe everyone is born equal. Everyone is capable of doing great things. It's utter rubbish. It's nonsense, Michael.
No, people have a tendency to be very selfish when they're born. It's all about me. But in life, after they go through stages of socialization, then they understand that it can't be all about them. It has to be about other people.
In other words, a kid also has to be knocked down a little bit in order to learn to stand up. The kid never had to work a day in his life. Isn't that true?
That's right, and that's why when you see this kid going around in a BMW and priding himself on the fact that he doesn't have to drive a clunker like some of his friends do, you can see that these people were buying his love, if they even wanted his love.
Yeah, they spoiled him rotten, in other words, and turned him into a crazy person. I would say that they aided and abetted his inherent insanity. Would you say that's correct?
Absolutely right, but I wouldn't say he's insane because...
Okay, you would say he's not insane. What would you say?
I would say that this person is an adulation addict. He said, you know why the women, the teachers, are throwing themselves at 13-year-old boys? It's because they are an adulation addict. They want to get the biggest thrill they can from having given that child a thrill. How else could that child ever have what he really would like to have unless they gave it to him? So they'll say, I'm going to show him a time, and he'll never forget me. That's
why
they...
Hey, Michael, you're a pretty brilliant analyst. You really are. Do you have a practice or what?
No, I gave up psychology years ago. I went into sales.
Well, you and I could talk for another hour, and I hope you'll call the show again tomorrow because, Michael, I'm going to cover this topic for a few days. There were two that covers yesterday. That was pretty good. And if you want to hear crazy, Gloria Allred, you know the woman who sues at the drop of a wig, says that male chauvinism is a form of mental illness. And when she was asked, what about the males that he killed, you talk about a distorted mind. You talk about a crazy person. Her answer is as crazy as this kid's. Listen to clip number 8.
The men who are victims here, too, are also possibly victims of this male chauvinistic outlook around the world, because he said they could get the women. He couldn't. He was going to take retribution against them. Well, maybe they had the skills that he hadn't yet developed. And unfortunately, now they are victims and they are dead.
You see, now in my mind, there should be intervention for Gloria Allred. We know who she is. We've watched her over the years. We've seen the crazy eyes, in my estimation. She says that the mental illness is male chauvinism. It fits her party line that men are no good. And then when she's challenged and they ask her, what about the men that he killed? She says they were also victims of male chauvinism, even though it doesn't fit her own argument. You hear her gulp and go along with the same party line argument. That is not only lying, that's psychopathic speechology, as far as I'm concerned. And yet she has a law degree and she's able to sue people with impunity. It's one man's opinion. If you have your own opinion on this subject, the New York Post had an interesting headline on this, which was Woman-Hating Killer Sparks Culture War, which is a fabulous headline. Woman-Hating Killer Sparks Culture War. So now you have the likes of Gloria Allred lying through her wig about male chauvinism causing this. And when asked about the men he killed, she says, well, they're also victims of male chauvinism because this is not a culture war, this is a sanity war. And we're starting to see that there are many insane people in high places in the United States of this America. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is 33 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. I mentioned several topics today, including the death of my friend Lorenzo Petroni of the North Beach Restaurant and the effects that it had on me and my memories of him. And we talked about the mass murderer. We talked about other topics, including the submarine that Michelle is going to help lay the keel for and what it should be named. And the topic that seems to still be exciting the Savage Nation is the evil story out of Santa Barbara, that crazy kid, that crazy man, and who was responsible. On line one from WABC in New York is Charles. Charles has an interesting point. Charles, go ahead, please. Thanks for joining the program.
Dr. Savage, you are the one and only. I love your work, and nobody can express and talk about this subject like you can. I really appreciate it.
Charles, before we begin, are you trained in the therapies of any kind? What are you?
Well, I am a non-psychiatrist physician, but as a general physician, I've done a lot of looking into this, looking into myself, and I've written extensively on the topic.
Ah, beautiful. So are you calling about the psychosexual elements that I hinted at?
Well, somewhat, yes. Let me tell you just where I'm coming from. And you know, the same nervousness that I feel when I call in the show or anybody else feels, or the same feeling we get if we see a cop in our rearview mirror, it's the exact same mechanism that causes such a murderous rampage. And I know that that sounds crazy, but it's always the result of fight or flight, and fight or flight is always related to some precipitating danger. And it's my premise is that the degree of the fight is directly, or even the flight, whether it's anger or rage is a flight, or murder is as a fight, or if it's depression or withdrawal, the caller was calling about bipolar before, it's always, it directly correlates with the degree of danger. And it's my premise that mental illness, it can be traced to a very big danger. In this case, I will guarantee that something happened between birth and adolescence for this child. Not only the spoiled brats are a dime a dozen, but spoiled brats don't go around with these manifestos and blowing and shooting people up. And this particular spoiled rat, I can guarantee you, has a very strong danger experience that stems from somewhere birth to adolescence that causes him to have such a fight response. And
wait, let me see if I can digest for myself and others what you're saying, Doctor. He got a thrill, in other words, out of the killing. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that he got a thrill. Well, in some ways, actually, in some ways he did, because he was one-upping. He was one-upping the people, and that's a primitive reaction where we have to be, that's how we fight. We have to gain leverage, and that if we feel as though we're impotent or that somebody is one-upping us, it's our primitive instinct to fight. So that's a one-up danger.
But do you feel he was traumatized in his early childhood? Something was done to him?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, when you imply that, what do you mean? Someone in the family or someone close to him molested him?
Yes, I would say that somebody in his family, somebody who meant a lot to him, had to, because in order for this to be stored in his brain, because we learn what's going to be dangerous to his adults, we learn for the most part what's been stored to us during birth and adolescence. So something happened to him, whether it was a loss of love, because we'll fight to the death to get that love, whether it was somebody who molested him. Probably it was a sexual, I would say it was probably a sexual trauma. Usually if the fight is that severe, it usually is some type of trauma, and it's often a sexual trauma. And that's from my experience as a doctor, just treating regular people who have just trying to deal with life and, with different anxieties and stresses. And it's the same mechanism, it's on the same spectrum as this mental illness. It just is that.
Charles, did you happen to hear yesterday's show where I talked about the psychosexual nature of this guy and his statements and how a lot of men feel very similar feelings of rage towards women, but they don't act it out this way. They do it in different ways. Did you hear that?
I missed that. I'm sorry I missed
it. It was one of my best shows of all time, and my point is that misogyny is rampant amongst men, but so is the hatred of men by many women, and there's nothing new under the sun. It was always called the war of the sexes, but it doesn't always end in mass murder, does it? I mean, there's different ways to act out a feeling of rejection by girls, and I said yesterday that a guy who's healthy, who feels those senses of being rejected, goes out and says, I'll show them. And so he displays, like as you see in the animal kingdom, by becoming a fine artist, a fine doctor, a fine poet, a fine entertainer, a fine athlete, in order to attract the women of the species. That was my point. He doesn't go out and murder them to gain their attentions.
Yeah. Well, that's what attracts me to your show, Dr. Savage, is because you talk about these things. And you get into the nitty-gritty. You get into the psychology of liberals. You get into the psychology of this. And nobody does that, and this is what drives all human nature. And really, this is a primitive act. It's a very base act, and it stems from the fact that we all have very primitive danger instincts. And, I look at it as threefold. I look at it as the one-up danger. We all have that, the fear of being one-up, the fear of the unknown, the unfamiliar, and the fear of losing love. If you take a chimpanzee away from its mother, for instance, and you give that chimpanzee all the food and all the comfort that it needs, it will still wither and almost die because of that primitive need of that love and affection. And
amen to that. Amen to that. I've seen those studies. That's absolutely true. So are you saying he was denied love somewhere in such a traumatic way by a woman?
Well, I would say probably, and it had to be severe. It couldn't just be showering him with gifts, because that's not real love, as we know. It had to be something much more crucial and much more extreme. And I would say that I would almost go, and the same thing with Sandusky back a couple of years ago. I wrote a blog piece on that, where I didn't see anybody talking about that. That was his known, he definitely was molested. Definitely that was the culture of his home growing up. That was what was familiar to him. So he fought to fight and flee the unfamiliar with to be going into a normal, non-molesting life. So he fights and flees back into the comfortable. And so this guy was abused. This guy was was definitely something egregious and violent happened to him, for him to be so, the fight.
But Charles, did you hear any of the tapes I played of his actual YouTube video of him talking?
Not only did I hear them, I watched them on my own.
All right, I watched them over the weekend, and I was captivated by the true face of psychosis because I've never encountered it. I've only seen movie versions of psychotics. I was shocked, and I couldn't stop watching the face of evil. It's something that is beyond comprehension when you actually look at it. I was struck by the fact that he was sexually impotent. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, yes.
You do because he kept saying blonde slut, like all blondes are sluts. He kept saying they don't want me, they want brutes. And that's because he probably could not perform as a man.
Yes. Yeah, and think of that now. Because if there's a one-up trigger that we all have, a one-up danger, the fear of being one-up, of being smashed, of being embarrassed, of being stepped upon, especially sexually, because true sexuality in the animal sense is power, it's overcoming, it's mounting, it's all of that goes on, and for him to not have that, he's been one-up. So how does he do that? He fights. We fight that which is dangerous to us, and that's what he did. But it had
Of course, look, it's the old analogy of the gun as penis symbol. I mean, let's get basically Freudian here. He couldn't do it with his own body, so he chose a gun to do it with. Is that correct?
Well, I would say yes and no, because, you know, in one way he could have just been a serial, not only rapist, but somebody who just, wanted to get notches on his belt and wanted to demean women and treat them. So in order for him to be so violent and so evil, there had to be a deviation that was a firm foundation in his childhood.
All right, well, he's been seeing therapists since he was 8, according to reports. That means that somewhere in his childhood he was doing something violent, and there are records of that violence. Wouldn't you think that that would be so?
Well, yeah. I mean, you would think that the therapist, you would hope that they would start, narrowing down. It's my surprise, though, because I've had patients come to me, and again, I'm not a psychiatrist, but people have brought me their bipolar family members, and it surprises me how no therapist for the years that they have been bipolar had been talking to them about some danger that had happened in childhood. In fact, there have been several cases where there's been such a, they've been told that it's a chemical imbalance or that it's that it's purely genetic. I mean, certainly we have genes that can be turned on and turned off during, depending on certain circumstances in our life, but for the most part, this stems, all these mental illnesses, the majority of mental illness, I'll go out on a limb and say, stem from something that has happened between birth and adolescence that is so extreme that it has caused someone to fight and flee in such a
All right, but you're not justifying what he did by any means. You're just trying to explain the original trigger, I think. Isn't that correct?
We have to protect ourselves from people who act primitively. I mean,
now you're not talking about the atavistic return of the personality, are you?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Are you referring to the atavistic return of the personality to an animal state?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, atavism is an extremely interesting study unto itself. And as we devolve into tribalism, we're going to see more and more of atavism in the society. And I would even guess that we're soon going to see cannibalism in this country, because of where we are going. I mean, the unhinging, the disconnectedness from God, the death of the church, the destruction of the church by the forces of evil, the forces of liberalism, are opening the society up to anything, and that would include cannibalism, which I fear will start to occur in this country.
Well,
the reason I mention it is, look, I spent years in the Fiji Islands, not shortly, but after their experiences of their expression of cannibalism. The last known recorded incidence of cannibalism in the Fiji Islands was in 1937 when Christian missionaries were visiting, and they wanted to celebrate the missionaries' appearance in the village, so they started a fire in the center of the village. I mean, I was reading anthropology at the time, and they cut the nose off young girls and cooked the noses and offered them to the missionaries, who were obviously just couldn't believe what they were watching. And it was because of the civilizing influence of the Christian missionaries that cannibalism was wiped out in those islands. Now, the reason I'm mentioning it is, now that Christianity is being wiped out in this country by the forces of evil, we are going to see this country moving back into those directions of mass violence and even cannibalism, is my horrible guess.
Well, I don't doubt that, and I would personally call it our reversion back to our primitive primate nature rather than evil, which is just semantics. But I agree, because think about cannibalism as the highest order of one-upmanship. I mean, it doesn't get any higher.
No, eating your enemy's heart. I get that. I've read about that in the combat stories. But it's interesting you say that, because I studied the Highlanders of New Guinea, who actually were practicing cannibalism until quite recently. I think they haven't really eschewed the practice entirely. They believe that when they beat an enemy in combat, they have to eat the enemy's heart in order to conquer him totally.
Yeah, and that is as primal as you can get. And when we're operating on this primal, this primitive nature rather than our divine nature, this is what happens. And I agree with you, Dr. Savage, and I just thank you for having these insights and for allowing a forum for this sort of thing to be discussed.
Well, that's what talk radio really should be, because if it's just about politics, it kind of leaves me bored out of my mind. And I appreciate callers like you. I think I have the best callers in the business, and I think that's why those with the high IQ tend to find this show. I really mean that. It's interesting. This probably not the largest audience in the country. Rush certainly has a larger audience. I wouldn't deny that. But not everything is based upon pound weight. I mean, there's chop meat, that there's ground chuck, right? And then there's, filet mignon. And filet mignon, you buy less of it, but you get a better cut of meat. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's 55 minutes after the hour. We have very little time. We have an incredibly important caller from WMAL in Washington, D.C., joining us now on the Savage Nation. Holly, please go ahead and tell your story.
Hi, I'm Holly. My daughter, Leslie, was one of the victims at Virginia Tech. For the last 7 years, I've paid attention to everything that has come out regarding the killer, Seong Hui Cho. The panel, I encourage everybody to read the Virginia Tech panel review that you can find by just Googling that on the Internet, that has several sections that describe the psychology of the killer, which is extremely similar to the psychology of the killer at Santa Barbara. When you had a guy on earlier who said he was a psychologist, he was no psychologist. What did he say? He had his degree in psychology, but he practiced it, but he doesn't anymore. Now he's in car sales. And I know that my sister got a degree in psychology because she wasn't good at anything else, and that's the only degree she could get. They hand those out like crazy, the degrees.
What is in the manifesto of the killer who killed your daughter that you'd like to tell us about, though?
His manifesto was rambling, was very rambling.
But what were the similarities in that psychology and the one of this maniac in Santa Barbara?
He resented people who had something that he didn't have. And one of the things was a girlfriend.
Yeah, but wait a minute. And that's a reason to kill? I don't understand it. In the latest story that's coming out, he blames his mother for not marrying a rich man and giving him the wealth that he deserved. He then called his father a failure. And had his father made money, he would have been a great man living on his father's money.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Yeah.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the United States of this America. Welcome to the program. Every day it gets worse, worse, and worse. I wish I could say it didn't. I wish I could have a happy story for you. I put on a smiley face, how to win friends and influence people and all that, but I can't. There's a madness in the air. And, you know, there's a saying, a fish rots from the head down. And I'll leave it at that. There's a new bit of information about the psychopathic killer from Santa Barbara. And it's about money. Nah, not unexpectedly, since the murderer was obsessed with wealth. He had none, and he faked it. And as you know, the reason the media dropped this story is because he stabbed three young men to death first, and so that ended the gun vendetta. They couldn't do the gun story. And the shooter was mentally disturbed, so you can't show that in the media because it shows that some mentally disturbed people are just no good. They're not all victims, so you can't run that story. Go down the list and you'll see why even Fox News dropped discussing this story, which is a huge story that has many implications and just many legs, many, many legs. But in the story that just came out, it was all about money. And listen to this. You're not going to believe this, he said. He said, where's the justice? Why couldn't I have been born into that life of richness? He said his father's family in Britain was once part of the wealthy upper classes before they lost all of their fortune during the Great Depression. Listen. Are you listening to this? He said, Roger's mother and father had rich friends in L.A., which allowed him to sometimes enjoy the perks of money. He said, I tried to pretend as if I was part of a wealthy family. He said, I should be. That was the life I was meant to live. I would be, he said. And then he attacked his parents. He said, if only my damnable mother had married into wealth instead of being selfish, he wrote. She dated wealthy men after her divorce, giving her son hope and prompting him to pester her to marry one. He said, I will always resent my mother for refusing to do this. If not for her sake, she should have done it for mine. Joining a family of great wealth would have truly saved my life. I would have a high enough status to attract beautiful girlfriends and live above all of my enemies. I'm quoting now. Wait, he then attacks his father, who he said failed him. Listen to this madness. If only my failure of a father had made better decisions with his directing career, instead wasting his money on that stupid documentary. My business is then, the father, of course, made no money. Peter, in 09, asking the judge to modify his $2,000 a month child support payments for his two children, saying he made a documentary and could make no money. So his mother, by the way, kept this little brat alive. She's a working mother, the poor woman. She paid the brat's rent. And she gave him a used BMW 328i that allowed the psychopath to live in the college community of La Vista. How did he get the money to buy his three handguns? It's from money that he saved from gifts from grandparents and the $500 a month his father sent them. Can you believe this? And he became obsessed with gaining wealth as the only way I could lose my virginity, the only way I could have the beautiful girlfriend I know I deserve. Listen to this now. He said, I had no talent, so it was impossible for me to become a professional actor, musician, or athlete. And those were usually the ways that young people acquired such money, he wrote. I could invent something or start a business just like Mark Zuckerberg did with Facebook, but the chances of me achieving such a thing were the same chances I had of winning the lottery anyway. So the lunatic played California's Mega Millions lottery whenever the jackpot rose above $100 million. This is to show you what a loser he was. The loser drove to Arizona four times to buy Powerball lottery chances. He went into a rage every time he did not win. And then he wrote, without the prospect of becoming wealthy at a young age, I had nothing to live for now, Roger wrote. I'm going to be a virgin outcast forever. I realized that I had to start planning and preparing for the day of retribution, even though I hadn't yet had any idea of what day that would be. It's so much here to absorb about the resentment and the rage of this loser, this impotent loser. I mean, who do you blame for this psychopath other than himself? He's a sick person. The therapist knew he was sick since he'd been seeing them since he was eight, or some of the professionals since he was eight. He should have been committed to a mental hospital against his will a long time ago. But I guarantee you the parents would have fought a tooth and nail. Well, let's go to the callers now on the Savage Nation, because many of you are following the story as I am, and there's an awful lot to be said. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Sarah, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi. My brother, 3 months ago, he stabbed my mother and he killed my father. And what I believe brought him to do this was that new medication he was given. A week before this happened, he called me and he said, I feel better than I have in a long time. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia. I feel better than I had in a long time, like a kid again, and I can't wait to get my life back in track. This new medication they gave me is making me feel so good. So then he didn't take it the next day, and he took it the day before that. So within the 7-day period, the following Monday, I get this frantic phone call from my sister with the announcement that my brother, who I'm very close to and who never had violent tendencies, stabbed my dad and killed my dad. And he thought that my dad was trying to attack him. He was hallucinating the whole night, and now he's facing, you know.
Now you're saying that in your mind it was directly related to the drug he was on?
I mean, there's no other way, because my father and him are very close. My family.
Was he violent? Was he a violent kid?
No.
So you say the drug brought the violence out in him?
The drug caused him to hallucinate, which made him think my father was trying to kill him, made him think a cookie he was eating turned into bugs, made him run across the park and not be able to sleep, and a whole bunch of stuff that happened that night.
It's awful. Just awful. Well, look, this new class of psychoactive drugs are truly experimental. And I think we're seeing the ramifications of this experiment on the human race by the evil drug companies. I have no other words for it, and I can't say I thank you for your call. I'm very sorry for your pain is all I can say. The drug companies use us as laboratory rats. The medical profession is, by and large, you cannot overly generalize. I mean, many doctors are good-hearted people, but unfortunately, too many of them become drug peddlers for the pharmaceutical industry. They're very quick to prescribe drugs which they shouldn't have such faith in. And I can prove it to you by talking about one profession, pediatrics. When I was young, the pediatrics profession was the least rewarding financially because there were very few, if any, drugs that were prescribed by pediatricians. And then that all changed in the last 15 years with the advent of these false diagnoses of ADD, ADHD, etc. Suddenly it opened up a plethora of areas that the drug peddlers could suddenly prescribe medications that the drug companies were creating for conditions that are not even recognized in many Western countries. And as a result, pediatrics are now a very, very deeply financially rewarding specialty within medicine, because they overprescribe medicines for infants in some cases who simply exhibit the signs of being an infant. And now we're living in a society where we're seeing the ramifications of the overuse of these psychoactive medications. And there's no two ways about it. What I just said to you is 100% true. The overuse of these psychoactive medications, it's a national disgrace. It's a national epidemic. And what am I going to do about it? Nothing. I'm just a talk show host. It's one man's opinion. It's based upon very, very good observation and good research. And the day you're ever going to see a congressman stand up to the drug industry, which supports so many of them, is the day that hell will freeze over. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. It's the Savage Nation. There's a lot of tragedy in the air, and I hate to have to talk about it, but this killer story is a killer story. He's no victim, by the way. He was a narcissistic loser of the worst order. He thinks he's a god. And that is classic narcissistic personality disorder. Just pick up the DSM and look at it. It's not baloney. Narcissistic personality disorder is what's exhibited by most politicians. Now, it used to be called megalomania. Many conquerors and rulers suffered from it. Many spoiled brats became conquerors because they were born into royal families. See, if this lunatic had been born into a royal family, he would have been a killer. He would have gone into villages and killed all of them. And if you look into the history of narcissistic personality disorder, or you look into megalomania, you will see that that's what this lunatic exhibited. He's not that unusual in that regard. It's just he acted it out. Well, I think I've covered the waterfront on this, but I think many of you still have much to say about it. And again, the articles keep coming out, filling in the follow the dots picture of this kid. And obviously, I still think that the responsibility lies with the therapists and the parents, not with the police. By no means were the police at all responsible, and I'll repeat why. Had they gone into his bedroom the day they went to check up on him, I can guarantee you if they had found his guns and arrested him, the father would have sued the police department for illegal search and seizure and would have won millions of dollars against the police department in that community for violating their poor little precious son's privacy rights. And I'm sorry to tell you that the NRA probably would have joined the lawsuit. I know you don't want to hear it, but unfortunately there's a lot of blame to go around. Because as far as I'm concerned, there's an awful lot of blame to go around, and I don't understand how mentally ill people can buy guns. I just don't understand it. If he's in therapy, if he's exhibited signs of being a nut since he's 8 years old, why should he be able to buy not one but three handguns? Tell me why. I know this is a topic you don't want to hear, and I'm a conservative, and I'm supposed to not start with the slippery slope. Well, you know what? There's common sense as well as a political viewpoint. I try to combine the two. You'll have to forgive me. I'm not a zealot, nor am I a party line hack in any regard. I think mentally unbalanced people should absolutely be banned from buying handguns for any reason. Now, I want to hear the rub, though. Who's the judge who's mentally imbalanced? By my definition, all liberals will be banned from owning handguns. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Via retribution, I am going to enter the hottest sorority house of UCSB. And I will slaughter every single spoiled, stuck-up, blonde slut I see inside there. All those girls that I've desired so much, they would have all rejected me and looked down upon me as an inferior man if I ever made a sexual advance towards them, while they throw themselves at these obnoxious brutes. I'll take great pleasure in slaughtering all of you. You will finally see that I am, in truth, the superior one, the true alpha male.
You are listening to the voice of an abject, an absolute psychotic. And we're asking you, the audience of the Savage Nation today, who do you blame? Because there's enough blame to go around. And I'm asking you, who do you blame? Do you blame the acts of murder that this kissless virgin inflicted upon innocent young girls and young men? Do you blame the NRA, the parents, the therapists, Hollywood, social media, reality shows, blondes, radical feminism? What made this psycho tick? Who I said, strangely enough, looks like Michael Jackson. I didn't make that observation for no reason in particular, other than his looks are eerily like that of Michael Jackson. They look sculpted and plasticized. The lips are that of a girl. And there are many girls who like that metrosexual look, and yet they wouldn't go near him because the girls have radar. Girls, the way girls survive as the so-called weaker sex, which of course is no longer true, but let's say through time. How do you think women have survived through time from cave days till now? By having the sense to know who to avoid. So all these girls he wanted, he couldn't get because they knew he was nuts. They knew something was wrong. They sensed it. They could smell it. They could smell he was a sicko. Like, get him, ugh, I don't know what's wrong with that guy. Yuck, get him away from me. But the parents ultimately bear a great deal of this responsibility because they spoiled him rotten. There's no question about it. After all, he was not working. He was not even a student at UC Santa Barbara. Don't make that mistake. He was not a student. For whatever that word is worth anymore, he was not a student. He was just a hanger-on living in the neighborhood to meet girls. And the parents gave him the BMW. They gave him the money. The grandparents apparently gave him the money to buy the guns. And again, I say the therapists are responsible ultimately for the homicides because they didn't call the police. They got the manifesto. Instead, they called the parents. And the parents probably had a standing order with the police, with the therapist. You are never to go to the police without going through us first. So the therapist committed a great crime here by not going to the police. Don't blame the police. I saw some sick defense attorney over the weekend on the TV. Right away, he couldn't stop shooting his mouth off against the cops. What did he want the cops to do? They went to his house. And what? If they had arrested him, the same psychopathic defense attorney from probably Harvard or NYU would have sued the police for violating the kid's civil rights. They want it both ways, these sick lawyers. No, I don't blame the cops at all. They did the best they could do. Cops are not psychologists. Psychologists are psychologists. And they had an obligation to report this to the police and say, arrest him immediately. He's going to kill. But they didn't. And who do you blame then? You see, I did something interesting this weekend. In addition to watching the story emerge about the crazy boy in Santa Barbara, the evil crazy boy in Santa Barbara, and feeling sick over it, actually. I was sick over it. And I watched the tape and listened to him and saw the face of psychosis, which I never really saw before. Whoever sees a real psychotic, we all think we know the face of psychosis from movies. But we don't really know what a psychotic is. We only know what an artful version of a psychotic is. If you watch that seven-minute video, which I've been playing on the show, you will have heard his actual voice. That's who the psycho is. And the laughter and the statements. And we've been talking about him. I couldn't wait to do the show today because the topic is so compelling to me. This kid symbolizes everything that's wrong with America, all in one case. The blame runs across the entire spectrum. Nobody is blameless in this situation. Of course, he's ultimately responsible. I get that. But so is everyone else that I mentioned, every other group and every other person.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. As usual, I'm all over the map at the same time. But that's the way the world is, isn't it? We're all dancing on the head of a pin. And as Henry Miller wrote, each day that I wake up, I can go in 1,000 directions. The trick is to find one direction and follow it as best you can. And I have a picture of Lorenzo in front of me in his heyday. This guy was like, you know what? You see, everyone dies. We know that. But when a man as powerful as this has been dying for so long, it's like watching, I used to say to people, it's like watching a giant oak tree in the forest slowly going down and you can hear it cracking. It's a pretty sad thing to witness, but it's the way life is. But when the strong die, it somehow affects me more than when someone who's been sickly, you know, all their lives or weak dies. He was the guy that if you touched him while talking to him, like his arm, it would be like touching a tree. Anyway, he and I loved each other. We would argue over meals, and he reminded me of relatives that I used to have. And I remember he used to say, he once said to me, I tried to get it exactly right. He was the one who actually said it to me. He said, Jews and Christians. He says, same a corporation, different division. I used to love going down into the prosciutto room with him with all the hams hanging overhead. I said, why don't you have a Muslim convention down here, Lorenzo, or an Orthodox Jewish convention? Anyway, you know, one story after the other. It was a lot of fun, and I doubt that I'll be going back there because, you know, some restaurants are the owners, period. You know, the old days of restaurants, it was called the patron, the patrona. You know, his name was Petroni, but the patron, the father. Most people who go into these old-style Italian restaurants go in there for the guy who runs it. They want to be part of his family. They want him to glad hand them. They want him to give them the energy. You know what I'm saying? And then when that guy's gone, I mean, you know, food's good. Not knocking the food, but that's not what it's about. It's the experience of going in there and being insulted and him telling you what to eat. No matter what you order, he gives you something else. And he says, no, eat this or put salt on your food when you don't want it. Ask anybody what went on in there. I had a crackdown on him 10 years ago and say, Lorenzo, if you ever put salt in my food or you ever tell me what to eat, I'm never coming back. I mean, he was that kind of guy. You had to argue with him to get him to stop. But he loved my dog. Nothing was too good for Teddy. And I want to move back to the Elliot Rogers story. Who do you hold responsible for the shooting massacre and the knifing massacre in Santa Barbara. And why do you think the media has dropped coverage of this horrendous story? I'm pretty much sure that they dropped it because it doesn't support their liberal agenda. In fact, the more we discuss Elliot Rogers and his madness, the more we realize he's a product of the left wing, not of the right wing. We then have another short story, headline, Associated Press, Michelle Obama to help lay keel for new submarine. How ironic can it get? First Lady Michelle Obama will help lay the keel for a new submarine under construction in Rhode Island. Obama's office said she's scheduled to speak at a ceremony at Electric Boats Manufacturing Plant on Monday. The future USS Illinois is a new Virginia-class submarine named after Obama's home state. The First Lady is the ship sponsor. She is expected to write her initials on a metal plate, and a welder will then inscribe them. The event is the ceremonial beginning of the ship's construction. The new sub is expected to cost approximately $2.7 billion. It's a yin-yang day for me. I hope you're having a better day than I am. Been a hard 2014. It's been a hard day's night so far for me as well. I've been up for three nights. You know what it is when you have an itch on a leg from a bee sting and you can't scratch it because you'll tear your skin open no matter what you put on, you can't put on? Oh, sometimes an itch is a tough thing to deal with. But dealing with murder is even harder. Dealing with the tragedy of our political system can be as painful to most people as an itch. In fact, in the middle of the night when I was awake with the swelling and the burning and the pain and the itch from the bee sting, I couldn't help thinking about what Obama and Michelle and Nancy Pelosi, for example, what they say and what they do every day. It's hard for me to believe they get away with it, because in a sane nation, there'd be a call for a new government. There'd be a call for impeachment. But we don't... Here's the thing to remember. We don't have a political system that's functional. The thing to remember is it's not a functional system. It's a monopoly. And like all monopolies, they're very difficult to break. Now, if you have a monopoly in a business, you can go after them through antitrust actions. And as hard as the odds are to bring down a major multinational corporation on antitrust today, it can be done. Or at least they will settle with you in order to prevent you from pursuing it because they don't want the public to know about their monopoly. Can't do that with the Democrat-Republican monopoly, can you? And yet we know if I create a third party called the Nationalist Party, what will happen? Initially, I'll steal 5 to 10, 20% of the vote, and it'll only elect the Democrat Socialists forever. So we don't do that. So therefore, I told you the best choice we have is to push conservative planks into the Republican platform, or put it another way, try to get conservative candidates elected. I mean, that's a given. We understand that. And there are a few of them out there. That's the problem with the political system right now, is we have a monopoly we're dealing with. In Europe, there was, you don't even know this because your press is so broken and biased. It's such a part of the machine that you don't even know what happened over the weekend. There was a vast right-wing sweep across Europe. Vast! They voted to get out of the EU. They voted to take their nation back. They want their currency back. They want their flag back. They want their borders back. They want the flood of third world garbage thrown out of their country. They're sick and tired of the crime. They're sick and tired of the leeches. They want them out of their countries. And they voted. And they shocked the elites in Europe. It happened mainly in France. The Germans went liberal. They didn't change. Apparently the Germans are still afraid of falling back into the trap of Hitlerism, so they were afraid to assert their nationality. The French, though, on the other hand, were vehemently opposed to this New World Order and moved drastically to the right. So there was a sweep of right wing from England to France and other countries. And I said, it can't happen here. We don't have democracy. They have parliamentary systems with many different parties. And God Almighty, I wish we had many different parties in this country. From the outright Communist Party, which is today the Democrat Party, but they would call themselves the Democrat, you know, Democrat People's Party. That's what they would call themselves, and we know it means communist. It wouldn't have to hide as a party of the middle class, because Obama would be the head of the Communist Party USA. But then he could nakedly say, I'm a communist because I hate capitalism. I'm a communist because I want elitism to rule. I'm a communist because I want the people to basically eat leftovers while we on the top eat strawberry shortcake, then you'd know what communism really is. But now he has to pretend. Everything about the man is pretense. He gets in trouble over the VA scandal, and they send him to Afghanistan on a secret mission to give a little speech over there over the weekend. the bomber jacket, him and Clinton with the bomber jackets. It's disgusting. Comes back to yet another scandal, blows up on the White House, one after the other. And yet he gets away with it, the Teflon Don, because the media protects him. The Kistler's virgin, who committed those atrocities over the weekend, is still a huge story. I think if I were to rate all the shows I've done in my 20-year career, yesterday would rank in the top five. I loved yesterday's show. I slept well, my friends. I listened. Sometimes I replay the show in my head. It comes back to me at night. I thought yesterday's analysis by me was the best I've ever done. One of the best analyses I've ever done. Psychological, sexual, from the point of view of young men and how they see women. I mean, a lot of young men, you got to understand, get sexually frustrated and start to rage against women. And I told you that yesterday. They hide it, though. They don't know how to deal with it. There are healthy ways to deal with it, and then they're unhealthy, and then they're insane ways. But you can't blame the women, because the women also rage against the men in sometimes healthy ways, sometimes unhealthy ways, and sometimes insane ways, such as Thelma and Louise, for example. And so there's a whole spectrum of rage and a whole spectrum of reaction to the war between the sexes, which is what it used to be called when we were still willing to admit there was a war between the sexes. Now you're not supposed to say it because we're living in a metrosexual world where we're all supposed to be the same sex or one sex. But apparently this lunatic didn't see it that way. No, he didn't see it that way. And so he took it out on innocent men first, which is, that is bizarre. If he hated women and that was his modus operandi for retribution, why would he then kill everyone? Because he wasn't just hating women. He was an impotent little psychotic who was spoiled rotten from the time he was a child by his Hollywood parents. Told he was God. You're God. You're fantastic. Look, you're coming to the Academy Awards with me. You're on a first-class jet. You're hanging around with movie stars. You're great. You're wonderful. Everyone will throw themselves at you. And when no one throws themselves at him, he says, what's wrong with this picture? I want everyone to worship me because I'm so great. And that's what egomania does to people. And so he says he's going to slaughter all of you. All of you will be killed like animals, boys and girls, men and women, infants, whoever. It starts with his sexual frustrations, and it ends up with a sort of Hitler complex. And he says, I'll slaughter you all like animals. I'll be a god. Neil, you got to play clip two, just so they get a flavor for the voice of the psychotic again, because it's too chilling to ignore.
On the day of retribution, I am going to enter the hottest sorority house of UCSB. And I will slaughter every single spoiled, stuck-up, blonde slut I see inside there. All those girls that I've desired so much, they would have all rejected me and looked down upon me as an inferior man if I ever made a sexual advance towards them. While they throw themselves at these obnoxious brutes, I'll take great pleasure in slaughtering all of you. You will finally see that I am, in truth, the superior one, the true alpha male.
True alpha male. So he was raised to believe he was God, and he never had a girlfriend. He said he was a kissless virgin at age 22. It's odd to even contemplate what this maniac was all about. I mean, the parents obviously have a great deal of blame. I love the PR that's coming out, that the parents' hearts are more broken for the victims than him. I mean, who's writing this trash? They got a PR agent to write that trash already? Did they care more about? Yeah, sure. They care more about getting sued by the victims' families than they do about anything else, in my estimation. As do the therapists who should have had him committed a long time ago. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, here we come to the end of hour number three in the Savage Nation before all of you turn your radios off and go on and do normal things in life. We've been talking today about the mass murder in Santa Barbara, and who's responsible and who do you blame. It's a huge story, and of course, the Hollywood idiots, the media idiots, dropped the story. And the question is, why do you think the media dropped coverage of this mass murder story? The obvious answer is because it doesn't support their agenda. After all, this maniac stabbed three boys to death before he shot more to death. So what should they do, attack knives and guns? After all, he was mentally ill, and medication was involved, and therapy was involved. Every one of their shibboleths would have to be attacked. So therefore, they dropped the story of the gunman who stabbed three to death before the spree. You could call him a knifeman who also used the gun, and I guess they couldn't handle that. And how it had to do with misogyny is a big story. Another big story today is that the Tea Party is not so dead. It won very big in Texas. Your friend Obama, the anti-war liar, may okay a project to train Syrian rebels. They are al-Qaeda. They are our enemy. Sending a limited number of troops to Jordan to train al-Qaeda to fight Assad. Now, does that make sense to you? Look what they just did to Libya. Americans now have to flee Libya because of Obama. Meanwhile, the maniac running the EPA is going to push cap-and-trade tax. Meanwhile, on MichaelSavage.com, Pelosi's trying to override a federal commission that's trying to shut down a corrupt San Francisco college. Meanwhile, a psychotic professor, look who they hired today as professors. In my day, they would have been garbage men. They couldn't even be garbage men. A professor blames the UCSB massacre on white privilege. That's the quality of professors they're getting today. Professor. Everything's a professor. She professes hatred for whites. That's a profession. Meanwhile, in Sudan, a woman was sentenced to death for Islamic apostasy because she was a Christian. Obama had nothing to say for that. Meanwhile, a woman was stoned to death for marrying a man she loved. Her Muslim family carried out the execution. I'm not making any of this up. It's hard to believe what the Muslims are doing in the name of their religion and what they get away with in the name of Obama. Meanwhile, the Pope visited Israel and stabbed Israel in the back. Meanwhile, Obama says, I'm not weak. He hits back at his foreign policy critics as he vows to ramp up support for Syrian rebels. What? He's not weak by supporting our enemies? Okay. These are some of the stories that caught our attention. There are many, many more. And one that I want to talk about, that we have talked about, is inviting the star of Duck Dynasty to speak at the GOP convention. Can anyone listening to this show tell me that having a backwoodsman, a redneck backwoodsman who scares women, who scares swing voters, who looks like he's right out of the movie Deliverance, at the GOP will help them? What values does Duck Dynasty star bring to the GOP? Why would the fools in the grand old party, the Republicans, invite this man who has no claim to fame other than making duck whistles instead of inviting a traditional conservative voice? What values should the Republican Party represent? How about someone who speaks about borders, language, and culture? What do you think? You think the Duck Dynasty image is what the Republicans need? If you do, then I disagree with you. And on a final note, I want to quote Barry Goldwater, who is my political hero, where he warned against the religious right taking over the party. Here's what Barry Goldwater said many years ago. He said, mark my word, if and when these preachers get control of the Republican Party, and they're sure trying to do so, it's going to be a terrible damn problem. Frankly, these people frighten me, he said. Politics and governing demand compromise, but these Christians believe they're acting in the name of God, so they can't and won't compromise. He said, I know, I've tried to deal with them. He then went on to say, the religious factions that are growing throughout our land are not using their religious clout with wisdom. I'm frankly sick and tired of the political preachers across this country telling me as a citizen that if I want to be a moral person, I must believe in A, B, C, and D. Just who do they think they are, said Barry Goldwater. I will fight them every step of the way if they try to dictate their moral convictions to all Americans in the name of conservatism. That was Barry Goldwater, Michael Savage's political hero. Good night, and God bless America.
Savage.